The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. Juan is a recovering MarTech consultant turned creator who writes an amazing weekly newsletter about the MarTech industry, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the mic and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. All right, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter.
Welcome back, marketeers. My name is Juan Mendoza from the MarTech Weekly Newsletter, and this week we'll be discussing AI and the future of content marketing. Joining me today is Dean Barker. He's a global director of content management at Optimizely, which is the leading digital experience platform that offers marketers an ability to fully manage and optimize their digital presence and customer experience across every single touchpoint. Today, Dean and I are going to discuss the impact of AI on personalized content delivery. Okay, so here's my conversation with Dean Barker, the global director of content management at Optimizely. Dean, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Juan.
Well, I am very excited to have you because we just talked a bit about how you fell in love with content management. Very interesting because I think that for folks listening in, there is a lot of folks that love that process of creating content and being creative in the marketing field. But I wanted to start with a bit of a big question, which is AI going to take that all away, our ability to create content?
No, certainly not. AI is going to help, but I mean, the concept of creating content is so big. People think that generative AI is just going to solve everything, but it may help you come up with the words, but there's so much more to the content process than that. I always look at it from ideation to artifact. Ideation is the idea you get standing in the shower, and artifact is the media that you publish to your audience. There's so many different steps in the middle of that. And generative AI does a pretty good job in helping with one of them. But there are a lot of other steps that really require human input and human editorial process. So AI is going to help, but no, AI is not going to solve all of the problems with content creation. And I worry about organizations that think that it will, because they are going to let their process atrophy. They're going to depend too much on AI, and eventually we'll all have access to the same tools and we'll all be on a level playing field. And Warren Buffett used to say, when the tide goes out, you can see who is swimming without their trunks on. And this is what's going to happen. The tide's going to go out from AI. And we're going to see the organizations that didn't pay attention to process and all of the things other than generating words. So I think the next couple of years are going to be really interesting.
Well, I'm happy you answered that question. I can keep my job.
We still have jobs. That's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it good to keep our jobs and not let the machines take them? We should rise up in a revolution. What you mentioned there was quite interesting, this ideation to artifact and the messy middle between that. Now, maybe you could help us understand a bit, like, where do you see AI enhancing the content creation process and the delivery of that content creation? So I would love for you to kind of give us a view on where do you see the AI having the most influence in all of those different steps?
The two big areas I think that AI really helps with, first of all, is analytics and analysis of those analytics. We have a content intelligence product that uses AI to determine what types of topics your visitors are consuming. It takes all of your content and it uses natural language processing to figure out what the content is about. Then it compares what you have in your content supply to what your customers, your content consumers are consuming. And it tells you, you have too much of this content, you have too little of this content. It helps you make decisions on what content to pursue. So that's one big area I think AI will help very much. And then you just can't discount the generative aspect of AI. I don't think it would be healthy for us to completely depend on AI to write every word that we output. But there's no doubt that for some people, it's very, very helpful to have AI create outlines and help resolve things like writer's block and help people get started. So generative text AI, very important. I also love generative image AI. And all of these things we're talking about, we've embraced here at Optimizely. But I love generative image AI just because there are many times things get held up because you can't find the right image to illustrate your content. And I love the idea that someone, because oftentimes editors know the art they want, they can describe it, but they just can't find it. And in describing it with generative image AI, you can create it out of nowhere. So I think those are areas where a generative AI is going to help. But the thing is, AI takes a prompt and it projects it into a larger domain of content. The prompt has to exist and it has to apply and it has to be intelligent to your audience and your business case. I maintain if you have nothing to say, AI is just going to help you say nothing faster. The guy who does the marketing cartoons, I don't remember what his name is, but he's MarTech cartoons.
The Marketoonist.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah.
He had this two-pane comic where in one pane, somebody was showing somebody their screen and saying, I can write 4 bullet points, and AI turns it into a complete email. And then in the next pane, somebody was showing somebody their screen saying, AI can take this complete email and distill it down to 4 bullet points. So you ask yourself, like, what is AI adding? And somebody gave me the term cognitive filler, which I thought was interesting. Cognitive filler. Somebody else gave me the less appropriate term brain lube. So what AI is doing is just adding context. It's just elaborating on a core point. That core point has to exist and the core point has to be relative and it has to speak to your audience. That's your message. And again, if you don't have a great message, AI is just going to make you sound dumber faster. So I think content strategy in the world of AI is more important than ever.
So there's a new tool that's just come out from OpenAI called Sora, which is a video generation platform. And Paul Trillo, he adds a quote after he reviewed the technology. So Paul Trillo is the director of several incredible films, but also of the company Art Class. Now, he said this, which I thought was kind of captures a bit of the spirit of AI at the moment, which is he says that Sora is at its most powerful when you're not replicating the old, but bringing new life to impossible ideas we would never have otherwise have the opportunity to see. And I like that because with AI, you can literally, you know, you can smash a flamingo with a cat and you can put those things together and see what that would look like in a fraction of a second without having to illustrate it. And it can give you these really interesting combination of ideas and concepts that you would probably never even think about. You know, some of the AI work that I've seen was something that I've never even seen before. So I think this ideation aspect where you're putting prompts in, you're sketching things out, you're writing drafts, you're just exploring the unknown, AI can be really interesting in that because of its pattern matching power. Is that what you're seeing in terms of that ideation aspect of AI?
Yeah, that's really one aspect of a larger kind of process or content supply chain. When you think about going on vacation, right, you're thinking about going to the Caribbean. When you think about laying in the sun, you think about surfboarding or whatever. What you don't think about is 18 hours on a plane and pushing your way through airports and waiting in line in buffets. You just think about the really good parts. And that's how I think a lot of people are thinking about AI. They think about AI and they're saying, I'm going to press a button. It's going to write this thing for me. So much more to it than that. You have to make sure that your message is in place. That how do you actually incorporate AI into your process? Do you write a prompt in the very beginning, have it generate something, and then do you edit that? Do you write a bunch of prompts, have it generate a bunch of text and review those and maybe mash those together? At what point do you leave AI behind? Meaning at what point do you take something that the AI has generated and then revert to kind of manual interventions and manual edits? And these are the nuts and bolts things that people don't think about. They just think about pressing a button, having it generate a bunch of stuff. There's so much more to the content process than that. And I always maintain the enterprise thinks content is magic and it just like comes out of the air and they don't realize all the work that goes into it. And so you have a lot of people not involved in the content supply chain are thinking, well, we just press a button and create content now. No, you press a button and generate words. Generating words and creating content are two separate things.
That is a fantastic distinction, Dean. And I appreciate you mentioning that because it is so, so true, right? Spitting out words and pattern matching on words is just the noise. And you need that human touch to find the real insight, the genuine creativity, that emotional resonance with an audience. But industrial grade content is kind of the end state of that is AI. And the enterprise seeing this as, oh yeah, why would you need to write articles when you can just get AI to do it now? AI optimizes a bunch of other things in our business. Why wouldn't you just get it optimized content? I don't think what we're advocating here at all is that AI can just automate the entire creative process away. I think that you're right, that it takes a real human sitting at the desk, coming up with ideas and working with these tools to make their life easier, but also more creative as well.
In robotics and animation, there's a concept they call the uncanny valley. And the uncanny valley is that we like cartoons and we like robots when they sort of look human, but we can tell that they're cartoons and robots. They're funny. Robbie the Robot from Lost in Space and the Tom and Jerry cartoons. We think they're cooler and cooler as they get more lifelike, but there's what they call an uncanny valley, which is right before they become perfectly lifelike, we get a little weirded out by them. Do you remember that movie, the Tom Hanks animated movie called The Polar Express? It was a Christmas movie about a train, and it broke new ground in animation, but everyone thought the animation was creepy and they couldn't explain why. And the reason why they thought it was creepy is because it was so lifelike. And I think we're going to hit an uncanny valley with AI. I think we're going to be the point where people are relying on AI just to generate a bunch of stuff. And as humans, we're going to start realizing something may or may not have been written by AI, and that's going to weird us out. I remember a few years ago, I was searching for something about a medication and I found a page specifically about this medication and exactly about what I was thinking about. And I started to read and by the third paragraph, I realized I don't think a human being wrote this. I could kind of detect patterns and it was inserting the word in certain places. And that's when, number one, I got a little weirded out. I realized I'm reading something that a machine wrote. And then second of all, I got a little insulted. I got a little annoyed because like I was genuinely looking for the human answer to a question. I was getting this thing that a machine wrote. And that was that uncanny valley that I hit. And so I think there's a great risk for organizations that depend too much on AI that they're going to hit that uncanny valley. I always maintain that content is a time-shifted relationship between creator and consumer. If I write something, I've done a lot of writing, I've written 4 books about CMS. If I've written those things and somebody else reads them later, that's a relationship I have with the reader, just separated by time and space. I believe in that relationship, corny or not. I have kind of a very spiritual, visceral reaction to that relationship. If that reader realizes that there is no creator on the other end, that's disheartening at the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, it's insulting and you've pissed them off. So we have to be careful. People want to relate to humans. When you read a book, you're having a relationship with the author of that book. You're separated by distance and you're separated by time, but you're having a relationship with the author of that book. You take away the author, it's just not the same. I worry about that.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on 2 channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
I I totally agree with you that content can be very depersonalizing or dehumanizing even when there is no human behind it. I mean, I go to the SEO industry to think about this specific domain where that's human, like SEO industry is a story of humans writing for machines for many, many years now. It's all about optimizing your content so that you can rank better in an algorithm. So you're writing for a machine. And now we have machines that are writing for machines. And people using AI, and you're starting to see that Google is building tools to ensure that the content is written by humans. Medium, just this week, they announced that they are not allowing paywalled content on their platform that's written by AI. And increasingly, Amazon and YouTube, they're trying to screen out comments and reviews that are generated by AI. And I think you really nailed it, Dean, in what the problem is here is that the content is not made by a human. Therefore, it's depersonalizing. Therefore, it's so easy to manipulate others using tools that they feel as though humans actually wrote, but really there's no human behind it. It's just scaled content creation. So I want to flip the script here a little bit and talk about Optimizely's role in leveraging AI, because Optimizely is one of those amazing companies that have really been able to figure out how to scale personalization through A/B testing, experimentation, through CMS, through a bunch of things. But how are you thinking about how AI allows for personalized content delivery without that creepiness, without that, oh, this feels like a robot wrote it?
Yeah, what I want to stress more than anything is we absolutely believe in the power of AI, but at the same time, we believe in the power of content creators. We always have. Our content marketing platform is a solution that helps teams collaborate on content. Now, if we thought generative AI was going to solve all the problems, we'd just pull that product off the market. But if anything, we're investing in that product because we believe in the power of creators that come together that are enhanced by AI. We have AI, we have a program we called Opal, which are all our AI initiatives, and we've injected AI at 7-8 different phases through the content lifecycle. And it's really up to our customers, up to our editorial teams using our product to decide where AI makes sense. And in terms of personalized content, one of the biggest things is using AI to determine what your customers want to consume, what are their patterns of consumption. Our content intelligence product is designed for that. It's designed to help you figure out what content you should create. It's designed to measure the zeitgeist, if you will, of the customers coming to your website. What are they consuming? What are they looking for? That's one of the best ways it can help you deliver personalized content. But I also want to, on the other end, the actual delivery side of it, I just want to differentiate between personalization and experimentation, because they're two different things, but they often get conflated on top of each other. We have a very, very advanced experimentation product. And what that product can do is it can show different versions of content to different people and then track which ones move them down the customer journey better. For instance, if someone can't think of a particular headline for a blog post, that's okay. Think of five of them. You don't have to settle on one headline. You can have five and just show one randomly to people and see which helps them move down the line. And then our algorithms can track which content is most effective based on that customer's particular story and actions, and then show that to similar customers going forward. If a certain headline is causing a higher conversion rate for a certain segment, then we can show that headline to other people in that segment and capitalize on that increase in conversion rate. So personalization and experimentation kind of work together. I think AI has some great promise there. I was meeting with a customer once, and this was before AI was a big deal. I think this was the last project pitch I made before I came to work at then Epicerver. It was a university, and we were showing them how you could segment your users based on behavior. You can find all the customers that looked at this page and exhibited this behavior. You can put them in a segment. And they said something that I've never forgotten. They said, that's great, but we need you to tell us what segments to look for. We need the machine to tell us what people are doing and recognize those patterns and put them in groups for us. We can't know that 95% of the people who look at this page and this page and this page really want to see this content. We need the machine to tell us that. That always stuck with me. I mean, this is AI for pattern recognition, which I think is very, very helpful because marketing teams can't be expected to know everything. And I think AI has a really great role in helping them show patterns that they didn't know existed.
And that's one of the challenges, I think, particularly with the larger enterprise companies with, say, millions and millions of customers, is that the human ability to comprehend that much data, that much behavior, that is something that is almost impossible without using AI. And we've been using AI for a long time, as you say, to find insight, to find those segments. And there does become a point where at scale, there is just no other way than to use AI But I love what you said about the AI process allows for that personalization, but it does start with the human spark. It does start with that human idea and then using AI to scale that or to dynamically optimize that recursively over a period of time as those experiences or ideas are shown to customers. But my last question for you before we wrap up for today is when it comes to this domain of AI and personalization and really having AI have a pretty big influence in all of those processes, how much should marketers trust it right now? What do you think about that? Is it something that marketers should dive into, just let AI run the house, or is it something different from that?
You should certainly dive into it, but I'm going to say without question, the last eyes to view your content before it goes out the door should be human. I mean, we're seeing news articles about AI doing stupid things that people didn't intend, offering people discounts that didn't exist, and telling them policy decisions that aren't true. I mean, AI hallucinates, and AI makes up some things that it shouldn't. AI can get you started, but the last eyes on every single word that goes out the door have to be human, and they have to be a human that understands the context of your domain of content and your domain of users. What we're finding, there was a study that was just in on AI code generation, and I think it was GitHub did it, and they found that the more often a developer used AI code generation, the more bugs were introduced into their software. And the reason for that is they're just using AI code to write code and then they're not checking it. They're assuming it does what it is supposed to do. Now, as developers, we use libraries all the time, but they're libraries that other people wrote and other people have reviewed. If the machine is just writing something for you and not looking at it, you're putting an awful lot of trust in the machine. So can AI help? Yes, but the last eyes that look at that need to be human before it goes out the door. I'll die on that hill.
And it's a great way to wrap as well. The last eyes on any piece of AI generated content should be human. And that is a great way to finish up. That wraps us up for our first episode with Dean Barker, the Global Director of Content Management at Optimizely. Thank you so much for joining us. Stick around for part two, which we'll publish tomorrow. Dean and I are going to discuss exploring the relationship between creativity and modern content suites. So if you can't wait for our next episode, you'd like to learn more about Dean, you can find out more about him on his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter where his handle is Dean_Barker, or you can visit his company website at optimizely.com. Dean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. If you'd like to get in touch with Juan, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter. His handle is Juan Mendoza, but it's spelled crazy pants. It's JU4NMEND0Z4, or it's a little easier to just visit his company's website, which is themartechweekly.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletters and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MartechPod, MartechPod, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.